He may have only been here for half a season, but what a memorable half season 2008 was. Earlier this week, Good Karma Brands, that's WTMJ, ESPN Milwaukee, and 101.7 The Truth, had the chance to chat with Milwaukee Brewers legendary pitcher CC Sabathia. We talk about everything from his open struggles with alcohol abuse to being traded to the Brewers. He's a huge Raiders fan and also a fan of Giannis Antetokounmpo. So here's that interview. Milwaukee Brewers legendary pitcher, CC Sabathia.
CC, thanks so much for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So when getting ready for this interview, was looking at, you know, you're throwing out the first pitch on Friday night, which happens to be Harry Potter night at American Family Field. So I guess I have to ask the important question first. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah, big Harry Potter fan. Me and my daughters and my youngest son is a big Harry Potter fan. So we've actually been to London to the studios and out there to the amusement park that they have out there. We've been down to Universal Studios. So we've seen all the movies. So it's pretty cool that I'm getting to throw the first pitch out on Harry Potter night.
Yeah, that's awesome. You got like a Nimbus 2000 to ride out onto the mound?
Right, I should.
So this actually helps. If you said no, I was going to have to shift a bunch of questions. But since you are an actual fan, so what house would CC Sabathia be in?
Man, we've had this conversation in my house the whole time, and my kids seem to think I'd be Slytherin, but I think I'd be Gryffindor. So,
from everything I read about your time with the Brewers, and just I grew up in Milwaukee, huge Brewers fan. You were the reason I fell in love with baseball in 2008. So thanks for that. Definitely, like everyone said, you're a giant teddy bear, like Gryffindor for sure.
Yeah, my kids seem to disagree, but I think I'd be Gryffindor.
since your playing days, I know you have another job with the MLB we'll talk about in a little bit, but since the playing days, retirement, everything, you spending more time with your kids, is that everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, my kids are old enough now where, you know, we get a chance to hang out and do some cool things. I have a kid, my oldest is about to be a sophomore at Georgia Tech, so he's on his baseball journey, so to get a chance to watch him now enjoy the game and be a part of the game. It's a lot of fun. So I think I retired at the perfect time. I got to see his last 2 years of high school and, got integrated back into my younger kids' life. So it's been great.
So often we hear, you know, Michael Jordan's son, LeBron James' son, Bronny at USC, if he decides to play this year, like the pressure of being the child of a famous athlete, especially ones who have excelled in the ways that you did. Do you think that's stressful on him down at Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was when he was younger. I think he's figured out a way now to carve his own, you know, lane out in that, trying to figure all of that out. So I think, yeah, you know, when he was younger and me not being home a lot, him trying to figure out his journey was a little tougher. But I think now, you know, he's super mature. He's about to be 20 years old in a couple of weeks. And I think he's figured out, his lane kind of in our family dynamic. So it's been great to be able to have, you know, good conversations with him now that I'm retired and I can actually see him play and I'm watching the games now. So, I think it is a lot of pressure, but I think he's able to deal with it.
So the ultimate retirement question, how's the golf game?
Golf game's getting good, man. I started off the summer, you know, playing really well. This last couple of weeks, I haven't been playing good, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm out playing at Wingfoot tomorrow, so
nice.
We'll see.
Any time for golf when you're in Wisconsin this weekend?
Man, I wish. Nah, I wish. I'm playing Wingfoot tomorrow, which is Thursday. I'm coming Friday, Saturday, and then I'll be right back to play on Sunday. So, I don't have time. The schedule's, you know, pretty packed, but they keep telling me I need to get up there and play some golf. I heard some good golf courses up there.
Yeah, there's some good golf courses, a couple of PGA tournaments here every couple of years. So if from all of your former teammates, you can put together one golf foursome. So you and three other of your former teammates, who's in that foursome with you?
Oh, man, it would probably be Dave Riske for sure. Mike Cameron, I would throw in that foursome. And then I would throw Aaron Hicks.
Okay. Sounds like a fun group.
Yeah, it's a good group.
So you're going to be back in Milwaukee, throwing out the first pitch Friday night. Take me back a little bit. July 7th, 2008, I think is the exact date. You get the call. Maybe you knew it was coming, but you get traded from Cleveland to Milwaukee. Do you remember just kind of what went through, you know, you came up in the Cleveland organization, you had been there as a pro since 01. Like, what goes through your mind when you get that call?
I would kind of expected it. You know, we had talked about it the whole season, you know, maybe, you know, me getting traded. But you never really think that you're going to get traded until it actually happens. So, you know, as much as I knew it was going to happen, it was still shock and, you know, sadness and disappointment because I had been in that organization for so long. And, you know, when I got to Milwaukee, I walked in the clubhouse and, you know, the guys were great. And it felt like I had been there for the last 10 years. You know, it felt like I had walked into my Cleveland clubhouse. So, you know, that made it easy. That made it great. You know, it just helped me realize that, you know, baseball is the same everywhere. You know, I mean, you get traded to different organizations, different cities, but it's still the same ultimate goal is trying to go out and win a championship. And, you know, I was thrust right into that playoff race right when I got to Milwaukee and just did the best I could to embrace it and be a part of the team.
So when people talk Milwaukee baseball, Bob Uecker is the first name to come to mind. Do you remember meeting him for the first time and any good Bob Uecker stories from your season with the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, I think I met Uke right away. In those days, he was in the clubhouse every single day. You know, he was in the food room every single day telling stories, you know, talking about his fishing trips and different things like that. So, you know, I think he was probably one of the very first people I met. And, you know, the coolest thing was, you know, for me, just being able to hang out and sit around and talk shop with him and listen to all his stories and all the people that he had you know, come across and, you know, the movies and, you know, I mean, Uke's a star. So it's pretty fun. I mean, having a chance to grow up in that Cleveland organization, getting close to Bob Feller, Mudcat Grant, and then going to Milwaukee and his Bob Uecker, and then coming to New York and, you know, Yogi Berra and Ron Guidry. So I've been blessed to be around some incredible baseball people and incredibly talented baseball players. To kind of help shape and mold, you know, how I think about the game.
So, oddly enough, I've also lived in Cleveland and I grew up in Milwaukee. So I wanted to get your perspective because I have an opinion on this that I feel like will shock a lot of people. But the better fans, who had the better fans, Cleveland or Milwaukee? I know New York's a whole other animal.
I mean, I feel like they're kind of the same fan base, to be honest. I remember when I was in Milwaukee, it was such an exciting time. You know, it was people tailgating outside the game. I had never seen a fan base be so enthused, you know, about a team. You know, when I was in Cleveland, they had a bunch of great teams in the 90s, and I came up at a time when I was on the very last of the good teams, you know, and so I had seen, you know, the way that stadium packs out and sells out, but the enthusiasm I feel like in Milwaukee, because we hadn't been to the playoffs in so long, was something that was new to me.
Did you ever check out a Cleveland Browns football game?
Oh, yeah. I've been to a bunch of Browns football games, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I think those fans are next level. It's cold as it is in Green Bay, but they never win, and it was always just wild.
Yeah, I mean they're diehard, you know what I mean? I mean, they get the same weather you get up in Green Bay, but the team doesn't win, you know? So they're still there packing that stadium out. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that fan base. But, I mean, it's only like that for the Browns. You know, yeah. they're only you know, crazy like that for the Browns and Ohio State. They'll do anything for those two organizations.
Definitely. I know you played football in high school, but where do your football allegiances lie? Are you paying attention to Georgia Tech this year? Or are you a pro football fan at all?
Oh no, I'm a Raiders fan. Okay. I'm a Raiders fan. My kids are too. My son is too. So we'll fly out to Vegas maybe 3 or 4 times. I'll fly out, you know, four or five times during the season. My son and my little guy, they'll fly out maybe 2 or 3 times. Last year, we took the whole family out for New Year's Eve and enjoyed the game. So my family's a Raider fans, and, you know, the fact that they're in Vegas now, beats going to Oakland.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to have to ask if you're New York, your time in New York swayed you into being a Jets fan, and obviously all that's going on with them this year. But Jets play the Raiders this year. That'll be a good one to check out.
Yeah, Jets play the Raiders and the Giants back-to-back week. So I've already got that mapped out November 5th, November 12th. So,
True fan. This isn't just like I'm a casual Raiders fan. You have the schedule memorized.
Oh, no. I got my season mapped out.
Do you ever look back and think, I know you had a crazy great NFL or MLB career, but do you ever look back and think like maybe I should have played football in college, or are you glad with the baseball approach?
No, I mean, my dream was to go to college and play football, and I wish I would have had a chance to go to college and, you know, mature and, you know, have a chance to live a college life. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I didn't play in the NFL and take that route. I mean, you know, it's such a tough life, and the career is so short, you never know what's going to happen. So, I was blessed, and I think, you know, I really loved and enjoyed playing baseball every single day. So I think it worked out for the best.
So I want to get to a bunch of rapid fire questions here. The team at ESPN Milwaukee challenged me to get 52 questions into you in our allotted time, because your number should be retired by the Brewers. That's a whole other rant I can go on later. So we're almost at 20 anyway, so we'll run through these. But before we get to that, I wanted to hit on something kind of serious. Your documentary is incredible. If you haven't, go check that out. If you're listening to this, go check it out. But you're so open about your struggles, especially late in your career. And I guess I just wanted to get from you, do you have any advice for someone who may be going through a similar fight that you went through, and especially people who may be too ashamed or in denial to admit it, just like advice from your experience that you could share with people listening who may benefit from that?
Man, I think the biggest thing is just understanding that everybody has struggles and everybody's going through stuff. And I think the hardest part about getting help is actually reaching out, you know, is taking that first step. So if you feel like you're struggling with, you know, alcohol dependency or, you know, any kind of drug dependency or anything like that, I think the hardest step is just the first step and reaching out and, you know, telling somebody that you can't control, you know, these things that you do by yourself. So I think once you reach out and seek help, you know, there's plenty of programs and plenty of people out there that are willing to help you and get you back on the right track. But you just got to be willing to reach out. And like you said, it is, you know, sort of, we're trying to break down the stigma now, but there still sort of is a stigma out there about alcohol dependency and all these different things. But I think more people are starting to understand that this is a disease and, you know, a lot of people can't control it. So there are a lot of ways out there for you to get help. And I think the biggest thing is just reaching out to somebody and letting them know.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. And I hope people who hear this, you know, can benefit from that. And an odd transition, but a couple rapid fire questions for you here, if you have time. You can only eat one style of food for the rest of your life. What is it?
Probably pizza.
Fair enough. I was going to next question. I kid you not. New York style pizza or cheese curd. So I'd take pizza there.
Pizza. New York style pizza.
So from a baseball perspective, was your agent ever pissed at you for throwing on 3 days rest in a contract year in 2008?
Oh, he was so mad. He didn't show up at the game except for the very last one. He came to that very last game against the Cubs.
He came to that one?
Yeah.
What were those phone calls like? I just got a little behind the scenes because I can't imagine if you're going into one of the biggest contracts of all time. It's like, actually, I'm throwing on Tuesday and Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the conversations were kind of one-sided where he would be yelling and, you know, he was a little upset. And I was just like, you know, I felt good. So I was just trying to explain to him, like, you know, I know there's a risk for injury, but the more I go out there and pitch, I feel like the more money I'm going to make it. So just let me do this.
Love that. And Milwaukee thanks you and for fielding those phone calls from your agent. So that's awesome. Favorite Denzel Washington movie?
Favorite Denzel movie would probably be Training Day.
All right. When you hear the name Giannis Antetokounmpo, what do you think of?
Beast, man. And just the way he, you know, worked. I mean, you know, if you look at him when he first came into the league until now, just a complete work of art. So, you know, kudos to him on how much he worked to become what he is.
Have you seen him live yet?
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
Gotcha. I was going to say, the owner of our media company here, Good Karma Brands, is a minority owner of the Bucks. So I will invite you to sit on the floor with Craig Karmazin at any time. You want to come to Milwaukee, we can make it happen. You let me know. All-time favorite NBA player?
Michael Jordan.
Pretty best concert you've ever seen?
Man, I recently went to a SZA concert that was pretty fire, but Hov's concerts are I'm gonna say Beyonce concerts are the dopest.
Okay, do you take your girls to see the Taylor Swift concert at all or the tour at all?
Nah, my girls not Taylor Swift. They more, right. You know,
more Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah.
All right, that's what's up.
The SZA twice, so.
The name of your fantasy football team.
Crest Creepers, and then I have one called Crest Creepers and I have one called Oaklandish.
Okay, love that. As we, I know you have another interview lined up, so we'll go whip through these. I remember you going yard when you played for the Brewers. Is it safe to say that you inspired Shohei Ohtani's greatness? You single-handedly inspired Shohei.
He might have seen that video of that homer of Homer Bailey. So, yeah, for sure.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs, for sure.
Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
If you're building a taco, what's on top of it?
Just carne, cilantro, and cheese.
Outside of playing for the Brewers, favorite memory living in Milwaukee?
You know what? It was just the people there in my neighborhood in Brookfield. Like, if I had a good game, people would like drop cookies off in my front door and stuff. So it was like the cul-de-sac, the neighborhood I lived in was pretty cool.
Nice. You're at a barbecue, hot dog or burger?
Burger.
If you weren't a professional athlete, what career would you have?
I think I would be teaching at my high school and probably coaching.
Love that. Do you remember any Halloween costumes you wore as a kid?
Oh yeah, I had a pretty dope Garfield costume one year. That was the cat? Like the old plastic one, yeah. Like you sweat through, yeah.
Love that. Favorite meal of the day?
My favorite meal of the day right now is this. I get this teriyaki bowl from this place called Salad House here in New Jersey.
Okay. Have you ever thought an umpire just did not like you? Like you're on the mound, you're painting the corners, and you're just like, all right, this guy just doesn't have it for me today.
No, I think that's every umpire. So that's why I think I don't like any of the umpires, none of the umpires like me.
Fair enough. Pretend Tom Brady isn't an option. Best NFL quarterback of all time. And you can't say Jimmy Garoppolo, Raiders fan.
Aaron Rodgers. Well, no, I'm going to say Pat Mahomes.
Better than Rodgers?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So what's next for you? I know you got the job with MLB, podcasting, media, anything lined up? New documentaries, because obviously you know how to produce one.
Yeah, no, I mean, nah, I'm just kind of living life, man, and things come as they come. You know, we did our last podcast a couple of weeks ago, just with life. I mean, me and Ryan are really still really close. We played golf the other day together.
Nice.
But just, you know, just scheduling-wise, him being getting a promotion at ESPN and, you know, me being busy with MLB, it is hard to keep the podcast up once a week. So, you know, we're looking to do different things. But, you know, for me, I want to do a documentary on the Black Aces. There have only been 15 black pitchers to win 20 games in a season in MLB. And I think their story should be told because, you know, some of these guys were doing it, you know, in a time when, you know, it wasn't really accepted, you know, in America. You know, so I feel like the history of baseball kind of coincides with American history. And to tell these guys' story, it'd be pretty cool. You know, Don Newcomb and Bob Gibson and Mudcat Grant, you know, Ferguson Jenkins has more wins. He has more complete games in his career than I have wins. He has 269 complete games.
Complete games?
21 wins. Yeah, you know what I mean? So these guys' story, I feel like, need to be told. And I want to tell it in a way of the time that they were living in America, you know, the things they were going through. So, you know, I think it's time to give these guys their flowers, and it's a cool group for me to be a part of, and I think more people need to understand the story.
Yeah, I think that'd be incredible. Anything you can do to tell those stories. I think because baseball is such the sport of, like, there's records before integration, before black players were even allowed, and then there's records afterwards and Hall of Fame and things like that. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. That'd be an awesome documentary to watch.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. I mean, like you said, before baseball was integrated and, you know, look, you look at all the records and you look at after, I mean, a lot of the black players still hold all of the records and they weren't playing for the first, you know, 60 years of the game, you know, so it'd be cool to tell a lot of these different stories and get that out there. But I want to tell it in a way that it coincides with American history, kind of almost like the OJ in America, the ESPN story how it told the story of LA at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it'd be important to do that with the Black Aces.
It sounds like you're well on your way to producing that, so that's awesome. Man, thanks so much for your time. This was awesome.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.